which will be taken from Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 21.
经文取自马太福音第二章第十三至二十一节。
Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 21.
让我们这时来看这段经文，容许我为大家来诵读。马太福音二章十三节，他们走后，有主的使者向约瑟梦中显现说，起来，带着小孩子同他母亲逃往埃及，住在那里，等我吩咐你，因为希律必寻求小孩子，要除灭他。约瑟就起来，夜间带着小孩子和他母亲往埃及去，住在那里，直到希律死了。这是要应验主借先知所说的话，说，我从埃及招出我的儿子来。希律见自己被博士愚弄，就大大发怒，差人将伯利恒城里并四境所有的男孩，照着他向博士仔细查问的时候，凡两岁以里的都杀尽了。这就应了先知耶利米的话，说，在拉玛听见号啕大哭的声音，是拉结哭他儿女不肯受安慰，因为他们都不在了。希律死了以后，有主的使者在埃及向约瑟梦中显现，说，起来，带着小孩子和他母亲往以色列地去，因为那要害小孩子性命的人已经死了。约瑟就起来，把小孩子和他母亲带到以色列地去。
Now, because we rotate the Gospels, so every 4 years we will come to the Gospel of Matthew.
因为我们四本福音书，我们轮流的讲，所以每四年我们都会回到这马太福音。
And every time we come to the Gospel of Matthew, we'll stage a Christmas play for our candlelight service.
那每一次当我们重新看马太福音的时候，我们都会呈现一个短剧。
Instead of the usual plays where you have adorable children in shepherd and sheep costumes.
那么一贯的这些短剧呢，应该都会有很可爱的小孩子穿着一些特别的服装。
But in Jubilee Church, we prefer to stage this gory play about King Herod.
可是呢，在禧莲堂，我们却要呈现下那个短剧，是关于希律王，而且是充满了血腥味道的一个短剧。
In doing so, we hope to make the message of Matthew even stronger.
我们这样做是想要更强化马太福音的信息。
And because the message is on true kingship.
那马太的这个信息其实是关于真正的王权。
People of God, Jews who are dispersed on every land.
属于上帝的子民，犹太人，他们散居在各地。
Jews, who is your king?
犹太人，谁是你的王？
Who should be the king of the Jews?
谁应该是犹太人的王？
Now, to be honest, if you think about it, there are many factors that make Herod very deserving of this title.
那么说实话，有很多原因呢，促使希律应该是一个很配得这个王位的一个人。
In history, he's known as Herod the Great, not without good reasons.
那在历史上呢，希律其实是被称为希律大帝，而他们这么称呼他是有一定的原因的。
And the top reason for me is because Herod is a self-made man.
那么一个最重要的原因就是他是一个双手打天下然后成功的一个人。
When the sixth generation of the Hasmonean dynasty, Antigonus, he seized the throne with Parthian forces.
那当这个哈斯摩尼的这个王朝的第六代亚提他们去篡位的时候，
It did seems like all is it will become a hopeless cause for Herod.
在那个时候呢，在希律的眼里，大概前途是渺茫的。
For on the Roman side, the Roman political situation is in great turmoil ever since the assassination of Julius Caesar.
那么自从凯撒大帝逝世之后呢，整个罗马的这个政治的情况其实是陷入一片的混乱。
On the Parthian side, the Parthians actually killed Herod's brother who tried to appeal to them.
那么还有当这个希律的这个兄弟他尝试要去讨好帕提亚势力的时候，他们甚至将他给杀了。
On the Judea land itself, the people actually welcomed the reign of Antigonus.
那么在犹大的这个领土上， 当地的人他们就很乐意在亚提的管制之下。
Because they hated Herod's family, the Edomians, and they despised the former puppet Jewish king.
因为他们真的是憎恨希律的家族这些以斯麦人，而且呢，那些在他之前，在就是说敌人的之下当傀儡的王的，他们也以不屑的眼光去看这些人。
Long story short, there is no one to actually support Herod.
简言的说呢，是没有人在支持希律这个人。
And it was Herod himself who overcame all these odds to become king.
可是希律却能够突破这重重的困难，成为了国王。
First, he appealed to Mark Antony and the Roman Senate, therefore declared him to be the new king of the Jews.
首先呢，他就去向这个马可安东尼，还有这个罗马的这个参议院，让他们称他或者封他为王。
But you must understand that the Judea land now still belonged to the Parthians.
可是我们需要知道，就是说，在那个时候，犹大的这个领土还是在帕提亚的这个管制之下。
So all this declaration is just an empty title.
所以呢，这些所有的封号其实都只是也没有什么真正也就是说有名无实的。
It was Herod himself who has to go and wage war against Antigonus.
而是希律呢，他需要去攻打 Antigonus.
To gain his own kingdom.
以致他能够自己建立自己的王国
land by land, territory by territory.
那在一个领土到另一个领土，一片土地到另外一片土地。
Secondly, Herod himself knew that as an Edomian, he would have trouble gaining acceptance to be the king of the Jews.
第二，就是希律身为一个以斯麦人呢，他知道自己将会很难被这些哈斯摩尼人所接受。
So what he did was that he banished his own wife and three-year-old child, which you see Antipater, to go and marry a Hasmonean princess.
所以呢，他做的就是他放逐了他自己的妻子，还有他三岁大的孩子，然后自己再去娶了一位哈斯摩尼人的人为妻子。
And to further gratify the Jewish aristocrat, he will go on to designate the children from this marriage to supposedly to succeed the throne.
那么为了要迎合当时的那些人的那些心情，他就更加从这第二次的婚姻里头所生的孩子去把他封为那个要继承他王位的人。
But the most critical act that he did to consolidate his throne was to restore the Jerusalem temple.
可是他所做的那件最为能够巩固他的势力的事情，就是他重建耶路撒冷的圣殿。
To comply with the Jewish law, he had to employ 1,000 priests as masons, carpenters in the whole rebuilding project.
那么为了要根据这个犹太人的法律，他也甚至去聘请了1,000个木匠和石匠来做这个重建的工作。
Herod's temple was so grand, so monumental.That the Jewish elite and all the Jewish people had to use it for the center of their faith.
那这个犹太人的这个圣殿，它是这么的宏伟，这么的庞大，以致人家当时的犹太人都把它作为他们的整个信仰的一个中心。
Now, as a self-made man, Herod is, in my opinion, deserving of this kingship.
那么一个真的是空手打天下又成功的人，希律真的是配得这个王的封号。
But the biggest doubter actually lies within himself.
可是那个最为怀疑希律的人是希律他本身。
Because of his own Edomian blood, he was always insecure of his kingship.
因为他是一个以斯麦人，所以他一直都对自己这成为一个王带着一种怀疑，一种不能够自我肯定的一种心态。
He loved his Hasmonean wife, who was very beautiful and brought to him great legitimacy to his throne.
他的哈斯摩尼的这个妻子很漂亮，而且由于他，他也很正贵，他也很真正的能够成为一个王。
But at the same time, he was also exceedingly jealous of her.
可同时，他又很极为的嫉妒他的这位漂亮的妻子。
Because of a purer lineage to the throne.
因为他的血统让他。更加能够是说适当名正言顺的来做一个王。
And when the rumors start to swirl,
而当谣言纷飞之际
，he began to eliminate anyone who could be a threat to himself.
他就铲除任何一个对他有任何威胁的人。
He killed his grandfather-in-law.
他甚至他首先先把太太的这个爷爷给杀了。
Then he killed his mother-in-law.
然后呢，他把岳母给杀了。
Then he killed his brother-in-law.
接着是他的舅子。
Then he killed his own uncle, who he asked to spy on his wife.
然后呢，他那位叫他去刺探他妻子的叔叔或者舅舅，他也给杀了。
Then he killed his own wife.
然后他把自己的妻子给杀了。
And eventually, as you see from the scene, eventually he had to kill his own sons just in case they might take revenge.
最后呢，我们从刚才短剧看到，他为了怕孩子们复仇，他连自己的孩子给杀了。
He killed every single Hasmonean who he thinks might deserve the throne more than himself.
任何一个哈斯摩尼人，他认为是比他更加配得王位的，他都铲除了。
Even his own family,
甚至他自己的家人,
even his own flesh and blood,
甚至是他自己的骨肉。
There's a story that goes that when the Emperor Augustus, that's the Roman Emperor, heard about what Herod did,
有这样的一个故事是说，当亚古士都王他听到希律所做的事的时候，
He said that it's better to be Herod's pig than to be his son.
他说一个人呢，宁愿做希律的猪，甚于做他的儿子。
Now, sometimes a person's paranoia is always quite incomprehensible to a person outside observer.
那对于一个旁观者来说，一个人的偏激或者是由于偏激而导致的一种惊慌，旁人有的时候是很难明白。
Herod had legitimacy from Rome.
希律呢，他由于有这个罗马这边的封号，是名正言顺的做了王。
He had legitimacy from all the military capabilities. He fought the land himself.
那从他的军事的能力，也看到他名正言顺的，应该是个王。
He had legitimacy from all his building accomplishments as a king.
从他所做的建设，大家也会承认他是个王。
Why would he need to care about any threats?
他为什么要因为威胁而在那边战战兢兢的呢？
Why would he need to care about something as insignificant as two-year-old toddlers?
他为什么要因为一个两岁大的婴孩而惧怕？
Two-year-old toddlers whose legitimacy is only based on astrology.
而且这个所谓两岁大的婴孩，有可能继承王位，也是占星卜卦而来的，的消息。
Actually, in our passage today, he's already an old man with a couple of years left. He died shortly after 2 years later.
其实来到马太福音二章的时候，他其实已经是年迈，只剩下几年的这个寿命。
With one foot in the grave, yet there is so much that he could not let go.
当他已经是快要所谓的走入棺木了，可是还有很多东西还是放不下。
One of his last wishes was actually to gather all the Jewish elite, in the land.
他的这个人生的最后这个其中的最后的愿望，就是要招聚所有以色列里头的精英。
And then kill them, just in case there isn't anybody mourning when he dies.
然后把每个都杀了，这是为要预防说当他走的时候，没有人为他而哀号。
Good thing his bereaved family actually thought it was too senseless to carry out.
不过很庆幸的就是他的这个家人不认为这样的一件事情应该去做。
Now the acts of Herod may seem incomprehensible.
那希律所做的事呢，我们会感到费解。
But I think it all boils down to the issue of sense of security.
可是我想他所做的一切最终是跟这个安全感有关系。
And because Herod never had that.
那因为希律从来也都缺乏安全感。
It frequently drove him towards acts of madness.
所以他经常都在做一些我们可以说是比如说疯子在做的事情。
Now, sense of security can be elusive for a person.
那这个安全感对很多人来说可能是很难以捉摸的。
But sense of security can also be elusive for a people.
但安全感对整个民族来说也同样有可能是难以捉摸的。
And that could be the case for the first century Jews.
那么对第一世纪的犹太人来说呢，可能情形正是如此。
Sometimes they are so afraid for their survival, they could be clutching at straws.
他们有时真的是过分的担心他们的存亡，所以他们所做的东西好比在追风。
They will do anything to make themselves feel a little safer.
只要有任何东西让他们能够觉得更加安定一些，他们都会去尝试。
As I was researching and preparing for this message,
当我在研读跟准备这堂道的时候，
I realized that actually the Herodian dynasty had become a minor concern for the Jews.
那我就读到是来到了这个就是马太福音的这个时候，这个希律的王朝对当时的犹太人来说已经不是一个一个主要的关怀点。
By the time the third year 70 plus, when Matthew was writing for them, it was already a second generation of Christians.
因为来到马太写马太福音的时候，当时的基督徒已经是来到了第二代的基督徒。
And for them, the main defining event was actually the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in year 70.
而在那个时候，也就是公元七十年，那个大家最为关注或者最为注目的事情，就是耶路撒冷和里头的圣殿被摧毁。
It's known as the first Jewish and Roman War.
那个也被称为是犹太人和罗马人的第一次的战争。
And so I realized that for us to truly understand the psyche and what these Christians might be thinking, Jewish Christians might be thinking, our knowledge therefore must extend beyond the death of Herod.
所以要让我们能够更加明白这些当时的犹太人的心态，这样我们在这个探讨历史方面，我们真的要讲的不单是希律，还要我们继续再往前再看。
All the way until the critical year of year 70.
我们得从希律之后看到公元七十年。
Now all along the Jews were never happy with their Edomian king. So after Herod, there were a couple more second, third generation, and they were never happy with them.
那在这当时的犹太人，他们从来都不喜欢，也不信服这些从希律和他之后的王。
And there were frequent complaints to the Jews, to Rome, which is a constant nuisance.
那么这些犹太人就一直到罗马那边投诉希律和希律王朝。
Herod's own son Achilles lasted only 10 years.
那这个希律的儿子亚基老，他也只不过在位十年。
Now Rome's solution is to appoint a prefect, a Roman prefect over as a province.
那么罗马他解决这个问题的方式，就是在那里的省份那里设立巡抚或者是总督。
You may have heard of, for example, the famous Pontius Pilate.Guys like that played such a role.
我们可能也都听过比拉多这个名字，巡抚比拉多，他们就在那边当这个总督或者巡抚的这个职位。
Now the tricky part about this job is that the Jews themselves are divided into many infighting sects.
那巡抚的工作难做，因为在犹太人当中，他们其实有很多派系，那当中的很多内部的斗争。
Each with their own varying demand of what they think is important Jewish freedom.
他们每个都认为说，身为犹太人，在他们该以什么方式去表达、去强调犹太人该有的自由。
Some is political.
有些认为说犹太人该有法这个律法上的自由。
Some is religious freedom.
有些是认为说应该有宗教上的自由。
Some cultural freedom.
其他的可能是在文化方面。
Now in Romans' eyes, actually.The troublesome Christians is also yet another one of these crazy Jewish sects.
那么在这些罗马的政府的眼中呢，基督徒又好比是另外一组这些麻烦的犹太人。
As you can imagine, the Roman prefects had to balance all these demands while remaining their own Roman pride. The Romans are proud of themselves.
那我们要知道说，巡抚呢，他在就是说。怎么样去很好的平衡这所有的情形的当中，他还是要坚持他们罗马该有的那种尊严。
So in the midst of collecting taxes,
所以当他们的这些罗马巡抚他们在那边征收税收的时候，
killing the rebels,
或者是在杀死那些叛乱者的时候，
sometimes they promote emperor worship,
或者是他们在提倡对君王的敬拜的时候，
the balance of all this sometimes things easily get out of hand.
当他想要把这一切东西都做得很好的时候。往往就会出一些乱子。
And so we come to what is known as the first Jewish-Roman War.
那我们就来到了刚才所提到的这个犹太人和罗马人的第一次的战争。
Sometimes called the Great Revolt.
有时呢，这个就被称为一个大的起义。
This is a major rebellion by the Jews against the Roman Empire.
那这个是犹太人对罗马当时的那些政府一个很大的一个暴动。
It first started with robberies on their temple and Jewish and Roman insensitivity towards their religion.
那开始的时候呢，我们看到是那些罗马人呢，他们就是说去圣殿那边去掠夺一些东西，或者他们对犹太的这些宗教里头的这些关怀点不敬。
Then the Jews, of course, protested and attacked Roman citizens.
那么这些犹太人遭受这些欺压，他们当然是不高兴，结果他们就反抗。
Now the Romans responded by therefore truly plundering the Jewish temple and executing 6,000 Jews in Jerusalem alone.
那么罗马人的反应就是真正的去扫空他们的这个 圣殿，并且呢，在耶路撒冷那边呢，他就是宰杀了6000个犹太人。
And what this eventually ended up with is a full-scale rebellion.
像他这样的来来去去，结果就开始了这个大起义。
Now Emperor Nero therefore appointed this general called Vespasian to crush the rebellion.
那么这个尼禄王呢，他就叫了这个 Vespasian
将军
去就是说平息这样的一个暴动。
In the year 68,
然后在公元68年。
The Jewish resistance in the north were totally crushed. This is in Galilee, all crushed.
那么在以色列以北加利利地带的那个防卫已经完全就是沦陷。
Now this is interesting because it forced all the guerrilla fighters. Galilee is famous for all these freedom fighters. They forced all of them to gather into the fortified town of Jerusalem.
罗马人这么做呢，就导致那在以色列以北那些打游击战的人全部都聚集在一处。
In Jerusalem.
这个地方是聚集在耶路撒冷。
And what happens is that because all these different sects were all gathered in Jerusalem, it actually caused lots of infighting. They were killing themselves. In the end, the Jews self-destruct.
那因为他们全部都在耶路撒冷，而且各自有各自不同的理念，结果就相互残杀。
Vespasian's son Titus laid a 7-month siege on Jerusalem.
那这个 Vespasian 的儿子提多，他就围攻耶路撒冷7个月。
Most of the Jews eventually died of starvation.
那最后好多的这些犹太人就是因为饥饿而死了。
Not because there's no food, but because all this infighting resulted in the burning of all the food supplies.
不是因为当时没有食物，而且这些内乱导致他其中的一些犹太人把食物都给用火焚烧了。
Eventually, Titus destroyed the whole city.
那提多他最后就攻占了整个城市
，destroyed Herod's temple，
并且把希律所建造的这个圣殿也给毁坏了
，leaving behind what is known today as the Western Wall。
那剩下今天我们所知道的在耶路撒冷以西的那个城那个墙。
Whichever survivors that were left, about 60,000-70,000, they were all taken into slavery。
那在那边还是侥幸生还的6-7万人，全部都成为奴役。
And the last of the zealots fighter all committed suicide themselves.
那么最后那些分锐党也都全部自尽。
All in all, more than 1 million Jews died from this revolt.
在那场大暴动、大起义当中，超过100万的犹太人牺牲了生命。
So I can imagine as Matthew has to write to his own people.
所以我们可以想象，当马太福音他要写这本福音书给他的族人的他的民族的时候
，He writes to a Jews which is left with nothing.
他是写给那些真的是已经惨败、什么都没有的犹太人。
Nothing except maybe their usual stubborn nature.
他们相信什么都没有，除了他里头的那种顽强。
Their holy city.Their holy temple, their most prized things, all destroyed.
圣城、圣殿全都被摧毁了。
Their so-called fierce zealots, fully decimated by the Romans.
他们的分锐党也已经被罗马人给消灭了。
It seems that they have tried everything, but all this fighting were in vain.
看起来他们能够尝试的，他们都做了，可是一切都枉然。
At the utter failure of this great revolt,
而且在这个大起义彻底失败之际
，they might have concluded that the Jewish people will never be established again. The kingdom will never be established again.
他们可能会想说，犹太国和犹太人没有可能再次成为一个国家、一个民族。
At the face of this racial extinction, where would they find their sense of security?
在这个整个民族几乎要被消灭之际，他们要在哪里找寻安全感
？How can there be hope when you have nothing？
在这样的一种一无所有的情况之下，能够有什么希望呢
？Now Matthew's answer to them is simple.
马太给予一个很简单的答案。
Their security lies not in any earthly king.
马太的答案是，他们的安全感不是来自任何地上的君王。
This security comes not from military power,
也不是从军事能力
or not from fortresses,
也不是堡垒
or the thing that was so proud of previously, the magnificence of Jerusalem and the temple. No, not
或者是那个宏伟的圣殿，都不是这一切。
Their security lies in their original identity as the people of God.
他们的安全感其实来自他们原有的身份，就是他们是上帝的子民。
Their relationship with God is their security.
他们与上帝的关系才是他们真正的安全感。
Now the way Matthew is to express this simple truth is to use the story of Jesus.
马太表达这个简单的真理的方式是通过耶稣的故事。
And to use the story of Jesus in using this as and you add, to add in reminders of the story of Israel.
并且在讲述耶稣的故事的同时，他也提醒他们关于以色列的故事。
And the story of Jesus, therefore, will be reminiscence of this story of Israel.
那么
you will see the parallels.
马太是用耶稣的故事帮他们回忆起以色列所走过的路，以色列的故事。
In Jesus' story, we see Joseph taking the child Jesus with his mother during the night and leaving for Egypt.
在耶稣的故事，我们看到耶稣带了约瑟带了耶稣和他的母亲玛利亚。逃往埃及
where he stayed until the death of Herod,
并且在那边住下，直到希律逝世。
And what did Matthew say? Matthew recalls Israel's story here using the words of the prophet Hosea.
那马太怎么说呢？马太这里他以何西亚的话来描绘这个故事，或者是以色列的故事。
Out of Egypt, I call my son.
他说。从埃及召出我的儿子来。
Just as how Joseph's family has to escape in and out of Egypt,
就如约瑟和他的家人需要就是躲进和从埃及再逃出来。
Israel was also saved by God through Egypt and then from Egypt.
以色列也是在通过和从埃及得到上帝的救赎。
What happened to Jesus was reminiscence of the Exodus.
在耶稣身上所发生的事情，让以色列人想到他们的先辈所经历的事。
The story of Exodus.
就是出埃及记。
Israel is God's son.
以色列是上帝的儿子。
Because it is God who called it into being.
因为是上帝让他成为一个族一个子民，他的子民。
And in quoting Hosea, therefore.Matthew reminds his people.
而当马太他在这里应用何西亚书的经文的时候，他在提醒，这些以色列人。
To remind them using Hosea's on God's love and loyalty to His people.
用何西亚的话提醒他们关于上帝的爱，关于上帝的忠心。
Again, we see in Jesus' story how Herod had to give order to kill.All the boys in Bethlehem, those who were 2 years old and under.
我们也从希律的故事里面看到，他下令要杀死在伯利恒里头和境内所有在两岁以下的孩子。
But then Matthew recalls Israel's story again using the words of Jeremiah.
可是马太他再次用耶利米书的话来让人家通过耶稣的故事想起以色列的事。
A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning.
这里说在拉玛听到有号啕大哭的声音。
So this is not the first time that the world has tried to time and again to destroy and extinguish Israel.
他要讲的是说，这个世界不是第一次尝试消灭以色列民族。
Wasn't it a familiar, a similar situation, a desperate and deadly situation at Ramah as well?
他说在拉玛的那个处境不也是一样的紧急，一样的无助吗？
At Ramah is the place where the people had to gather themselves. That's the gathering place before they were all exiled to Babylon.
在拉玛的时候，他们不就是大家得要聚集在拉玛，然后被放逐到巴比伦去吗？
With no hopes of ever returning to their land.
并且完全没有回归本土的那个希望。
But in quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31,
可是当马太他引用耶利米书三十一章的时候，
if you have the time, I encourage you to go back and read Jeremiah 31. It's actually an oracle of joy and hope.
可是如果没有时间的话，我就请大家回去自己看一看马太这耶利米书第三十一章，它其实是一个关于喜乐和希望的预言。
And in that chapter, Jeremiah says how God loves His people.And he will save a remnant.
而在那一章经文里头， 耶利米说上帝如何爱他的子民，并且会从当中救赎一群渔民，剩余的 渔民。
God yearns for Israel because God is Israel's father.
上帝渴望以色列，因为他是以色列的父。
Israel is his firstborn.
以色列是他的、那个第一，他所生的第一个的孩子。
And so there will be hope because God will make a new covenant with the nation and will forgive their sins. This is what Jeremiah said.
所谓有希望，因为上帝将重新和他们立约。
And so in interspersing the words of Hosea and Jeremiah into today's passage,
所以当马太在他的这个故事里头、也加入了何西亚和耶利米 的话语的时候，
Matthew, I feel, truly speaks to his people.
马太我认为是真的很有效的在对他的那些以色列民在说话。
To speak to his people whom I have taught that all is lost after the genocide that came from the Great Revolt.
他想要告诉他们说，在这整个大屠杀过后，他们所失去的一切，在这一切之后，
Their security lies in God.
他们在这一切之后，他们的安全感其实还是在上帝那。
Simply because Israel is God's son.
就因为以色列是上帝的儿子。
God, it is God who called them out of Egypt.
是上帝呼召他们出埃及。
It is God who preserved them at Ramah.
是上帝在拉玛那里保守了他们。
Israel's story with God is where they will find their sense of security.
以色列和上帝的故事是他们能够从中找到他们所需要的安全感。
And in doing so, they will remember this is how they survived Egypt, this is how they survived Babylon.
而且他们这么做的时候，他们也会想到，就是因为他们和上帝的关系有这样的安全感，以致他们走过了埃及，走过了巴比伦的那段不好的岁月。
And in continue to put their truth in the right place.
而且当他们把真理继续放在一个应该放置的处所，
They shall survive Herod.
他们也将会安然地度过希律的这一个时期。
And they shall eventually survive Rome.
并且最终他们也还是会在罗马政权之下继续存活，然后走下去。
We know that the words of the prophet indeed rang true.
我们知道先知所说的话句句属实。
And so just as how Matthew had comforted his Jewish church,
所以就有如马太他如何的安慰当时的犹太教会。
Using the same message, I wish to give a message of hope for us today, this Christmas.
我想用同样的一个信息在今晚这里跟大家讲有关于盼望。
Now, over the past years, in this year, 2014,
在几乎要都过去的2014年当中，
I think we see many things that sometimes make us feel very small and helpless.
我想我们看到了很多令我们感到无助的事件。
This is a world which feels to us this is just a battle between the big nations.
所发生的事件让我们觉得就是整个世界就好像就是那些强的军事国在他们互相在那边征战罢了。
You have China, Russia, or even the US all fighting for greater influence in their own ways.
我们看到中国、苏联、美国，他们都想要在这个地上有更多的影响力。
And sometimes in the struggle for this sense of security,
那当他们在那边在尽量的获得更多的安全感的当儿，
Some people.Instead, choose very extreme means to find this security.
一些其他人呢，就以更为极端的方式去获得这个安全感。
We see this happening in the Middle East in ISIS.
在中东，我们看到了这个伊斯兰国组织的兴起。
And sadly, also we see this in Pakistan.
我们也在巴基斯坦看到了类似的情形。在过去的几个月里头，我们看到类似的情形。
Now we cannot make sense of such paranoia.
那这样的一些偏激的这些、举动我们无法理解。
And such violence we know will only eventually hurt themselves.
那我们也知道这样的暴力最终是受害者像是他们自己。
In the midst of all this turmoil,
那在这些动荡的当中，
we have the example of Joseph today.
我们今天所有的是约瑟的例子。
A righteous man as Matthew reminds us.
他是一个义人，马太告诉我们。
And all what did Joseph did? All he did was to listen and to obey.
那么约瑟做了什么？他所做的也只是聆听而且顺服。
And listen and he obeyed, and that is where he found his security.
他聆听，他顺服，而从而找到他所需要的安全感。
The genealogy in chapter 1 descends all the way from Abraham to Joseph.
马太福音一章的家谱从亚伯拉罕一直追溯到耶稣，到约瑟。
And I think that is how Matthew is using the character of Joseph to remind all the descendants of Abraham.
那我想马太就是用约瑟的这个个性来提醒所有亚伯拉罕的后裔。
To remind them that trust and obedience is how they will find their salvation from the Lord.
提醒他们说，他们在上帝当中所需要的救赎，他们如果要找到这个的话，他们所需要的就是信靠和顺服。
Now we may not be Jews,
我们不是犹太人，
but we share the same heavenly Father.
但我们和犹太人有同样的一个天父。
Christmas is a reminder and comfort to us.
圣诞节给予我们提醒，给予我们安慰。
Because we know we have the Word made flesh before us.
因为我们知道在我们当中有的是道成肉身的耶稣。
And God reveals and fully expresses His will through the person of Jesus Christ.
而上帝也通过耶稣来让我们明白，让我们知道，他来向我们展现他的心意。
The call to us is simple.
我们的呼召其实是很简单的。
Our call is to simply trust and obey the Word.
我们的呼召也就是要去信靠，去顺服上帝的话语。
This sense of security is very important for us to grasp tonight.
我们今晚需要抓到约瑟当时所有的那个安全感。
Because without this, all efforts to feel more secure, it will be in vain.
因为当我们抓不到约瑟所抓到的安全感的时候，我们尝试所做的一切要去找的安全感都将会是枉然。
To feel more secure with power or possessions, all this will be in vain.
当我们去寻找更多的权能还有物质的时候，到头来一切都将是枉然。
Now I too sometimes feel this sense of loss.
我有时也会觉得自己有一些迷失。
This job is too big for me.
或者是这份工作真的是太过艰辛了。
Or sometimes I feel I cannot change or transform anything.
或者有时我觉得我没有办法改变任何的事情。
Or maybe you have felt it too.
或者有时你也有同样的一些感触。
Maybe you have a situation that's spiraling out of control.
可能有一些情形在我们当中啊，在我们生命当中，我们觉得已经是失控了。
You have tried everything, but you fail.
我们尝试了一切，我们所看到的只有失败。
There's fighting and fighting and fighting, and nothing comes out of it.
我们不住的在那边尝试在做，可是没有任何的果效。
Maybe you have a burden that you cannot put down.
可能我们心中有个重担，是我们无法放下的。
You may not be Herod or to be like the rebellious Jews.
我们可能不是希律，也不是那些起义的犹太人。
But maybe sometimes you feel if only I have more power, more resources.
可有时我们在想，如果我们有更多的权能，或者是有更多的资源。
Maybe if I have more capabilities.
或许我更有能耐的话。
Or maybe simply if I have my threats removed.
或者是我一切的威胁都已经被消除了。
Maybe then I will feel finally more secure.
那么可能我就会更为有安全感。
Is that true security?
这样的安全感是真正的安全感吗？
Or perhaps true security was there within us all along.
或者这真正的安全感一直都在我们的生命，我们里头。
That we have our security and identity in the Word of God, Jesus Christ.
就是我们在耶稣的话语当中找到了我们的身份，我们的安全感。
And in doing so, we are secure despite all chaos that we find in the world.
这么一来，尽管世界和生命的周遭的情况是如何的动荡不安，我们都有真正的安全感。
So, allow me, let's make this proclamation together tonight.
所以让我们今晚都一起来做这样的一个宣告。
Let's say this together.
让我们一起来这么说。
Say with me, yes, I'm secure.
我是的，我有安全感。
Yes, I'm secure because I'm the child of God.
是的，我有安全感，因为我是上帝的子民。
Merry Christmas, let's pray. 我们在天上的父，我们感谢你。 因为你呼召我们，叫我们能够成为你的孩子。愿主你常住我们心中，成为我们的王。这样子祷告奉耶稣基督的名，阿门。